but still in Cairo, and it's filled with garbage, right? So they never really developed a waste routine for Cairo. So all of the waste, all of the trash, right, goes to the city. So when you're driving by, of course, you're going to smell all the trash. But it's just crazy how there's just, like, literally people walking over trash. It's just trash everywhere. And the men there normally that inhabit that place, the men will go, like, door to door, building to building, collecting trash and take it back to the city. And then women and children, their job is to go through the trash, to sort through trash. And what is waste, put it on one side, and what is recyclable, right, on the other side. And they actually have a place where they get to work and they are able to recycle plastic and all these things and make things out of this, out of their trash, which is really cool because once you get to see it, you're just like, oh my gosh. But the fact that this place is just completely covered, like, in garbage, it's not like, oh, I forgot to take the trash out garbage. It's like, I haven't taken out the trash in like 1,000 years kind of place. So it's, if we thought of this room and it's just completely filled, you're like sitting over garbage and walking over garbage. Some of y'all are all like, ooh. Well, especially like the ladies are like, ooh. The guys are like, it's just garbage. That's what my room looks like, guys. Not my room. my OCD wouldn't let me. As I thought about this place, I thought about our own lives, and I thought about really what dwells inside of us, right? So what is it that is inside of you, right? So when you think about that, what I'm basically asking you is, if you were to be honest with yourself, keyword, honest, not lie to yourself, but be honest with yourself, would you consider yourself a garbage city? And by garbage city, I mean, would you consider yourself a sinful man or a sinful woman? Or if you're like, I'm not old enough yet, a sinful boy, girl, however you want to call it, sinful person, just sinful, right? Because it's easy to lie to ourselves and to say, well, I mean, not that bad. You know, I'm all right. So I lie a little, right? But it's a white lie. What's a white lie, right? So I'm disrespectful sometimes, you know, whatever you can think about, right? We like to make ourselves look better. We like to pretty ourselves up when the reality is that on the inside, we look like complete trash, right? Have you ever seen those hoarder episodes? Does anybody ever watch those? Yes? No? I'm like, no. Oh, those shows just, they make me itch, right? Because you see the house on the outside, and sometimes it actually looks nice, and then the moment you, like, walk in, you can barely open the door, and you're just kind of like, ugh. And you're, like, walking over all this pile of trash. It's not trash. It's stuff that I need. I'm just like, no, it's trash. If you haven't touched it in like 2 years, it's trash. Right? And it's just like that. We like to maintain ourselves from the outside looking nice, right? Especially the ladies, right? We like to lay down our foundation. Well, y'all like to lay down foundation. I don't mess with that stuff on my face. It's too much. But we like to make ourselves look nice, right? Carlos is like, yeah, just a... it's messed up. but we like to make ourselves look nice, and we try to act like we don't, we're not a hot mess on the inside, right? So we sit here and we live our lives the way we want to live our lives. And we act like we got it together on a Sunday morning because that's when we got to look presentable, right? We got to act like we're saints. When it's like, oh, yeah, you know, amen, Jesus Lord, yeah. Whatever you want to say. But The reality is that we're all sinners. You know, Romans 3:23 teaches us that we are all sinners who fall short of his glory, right? So it's not, oh, I mean, you all fall short, I'm good, right? Or y'all fall short, but we good. We all fall short of his glory. We are all sinners, right? So we got to keep that in mind as we talk today. We are all sinners. But I'm not just going to leave you there. I'm not going to, like, tell you, all right, that's it. You're sinners. Go home, right? Because then you're just like, well, what's the hope, right? There's hope in the midst of this message, in the midst of this very depressing message. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Let me give some of you old school people that carry that physical one to get there. Unless your, like, phones are acting up, you're like, I can get it. Ephesians 2. Yes, Saul. First Ephesians. Saul has a different Bible. We need to pray for him. Ephesians 2, chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 10. Everyone there? All right. So verses 1 through 3 say, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the courses of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So Paul, as we already know, writes like practically the whole New Testament, right? Paul's talking to the Ephesians, and so he's telling them, he's showing them, this is who we were, this is who we are now, right? And we'll get to that part, but let's stick on to where we were, or where we as believers, or as people, but where we may be at, right? So we read it a little bit differently. It's, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You walk following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom all live in passion, in carrying out the passions or carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and are by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. So this is a reality of saying, we are all sinners. We all fall short of glory from the glory of God. We are all disobedient, evil, conniving individuals. Never. You're such a... Carlos told me yesterday, he goes, you stay aggressive. What are you talking about? I was like, I would never. I'm such a sweet individual. No, that's a lie. I can't even complete the sentence. It's true. I do stay aggressive a lot of times. But... just with Carlos, because it's fun to mess with him. But that's the reality. We live a life that's apart from God. We live a life that is sinful. We live a life that gratifies ourselves, right? Anything that I want, I see it as a need. So therefore, I will go to any lengths and any measure to obtain it, right? If that means that I got to stab Giselle in the back so that I can get those two tacos... If it comes to tacos and pizzas, all loyalty is cut for me. No, I'm just kidding. But if you offer me tacos and pizza, you better own up to it, because I'm be like, look, our friendship's on the line if you don't own up to it. But, you know, you do anything to obtain it. You do anything to want it. We covet, right? We sit there and we desire these things. And so versus just like, that would be nice to have. We're like, no, what do I got to do so I can get this, right? What do I got to do so I can succeed over other people, right? And we will go by any means to get what we want in order so that me is satisfied, in order for me to be happy, right? Which is crazy, because we go to any lengths to make ourselves happy. And by any lengths, that means that a lot of times we go out of God's will, God's desire, God's purpose in order to obtain what we want. So Paul's telling the Ephesians, you know, that you were once dead in your sins, in your trespasses, right? Paul's telling the Ephesians that you once followed Satan in this world. And Paul's telling the Ephesians that you give way to the desires of your, you were giving way to the desires of your flesh, right? So it's easy for us to sit here and blame it like Adam and Eve did. It's like, well, I mean, Adam was like, well, it was Eve. And then Eve's like, but it was a serpent, right? So it's easy for us to sit here and to be like, oh, well, it's so-and-so's fault that I'm this way. Or it's so-and-so's fault that I had to do this, right? It wasn't really me. I was just a pawn in all of this. But I had no choice. No, you had a choice and you wanted to do it and therefore you did it. But because you don't like the consequences, then you're going to go ahead and point the finger. Is this loud? I feel like I'm really loud. I'm sorry. No, I'm going to try to stay quiet. But that's the reality of our lives, right? So we view ourselves in such a light that we're these clean individuals, right? So we view ourselves, this isn't the whitest shirt on the face of the earth, so don't be like, it's not completely clean. It's a rag versus cutting up my nicer clothes, right? So we view ourselves and we say, oh, but I'm clean. I'm, you know, there ain't no stains on me. I'm good, right? And so we view ourselves as this rag. We view ourselves as, on the outside, that we're this, right? We view ourselves that as if though we are clean individuals who got it all together, who don't need anything, right? But the reality is, and like Paul's telling them, you are disobedient. You are sinners, and you are in need of a Savior. And so you walked according to the ways of this earth, or in our case, in present times, you walk according to the ways of this world. So you do whatever you want in order to get what you want. So if it means I got to lie to my mama so that I can go do this, if that means I got to steal from my mama because she won't buy me my J's, or whatever shoes that you like, or whatever it is that you want, right? If that means... Man, they said some. My parents said some ridiculous rules. I gotta be at home at 8, but my friends are going out at 9, so I'ma, you know, sneak through the window, act like I'm asleep, right? I'ma lie to them. For us older folks, you know, like, oh, but I mean, I really need that promotion, so I'ma lie that I did this, but it was somebody else's work, you know, or I really need that money at the end of the year, so I'ma say I spent a little bit more, right? Whatever you want to think about, that dude down the street looks really good, and I'm having some really impure thoughts, and we met up, and we did some stuff, and I'm not proud of it. Whatever you want to think about. I can sit here and paint all day, but that's not the purpose, right? So we want to sit here and we want to say that we're clean. But people are like, excuse me, there's something about you that's a little dirty. right? So we are filthy, right? We're dirty. We're sinners, right? So you're just like, I mean, it was, you know, but it's all right. It's all good. I can still do some stuff to get myself right with the Lord, right? Because nobody wants to go to hell. I come to church on Saturdays and clean, and I come to church on Sunday mornings and sing these songs and listen to the Word. I bring my Bible, not my iPhone Bible, my physical Bible, because there's such a difference. Some of my old school folks are like, there is a difference. She already knew I was talking about her. So we sit here and we're like, oh, but you know, I gave that homeless dude who I knew was going to use that dollar for drugs, I gave him a dollar because, you know, the Lord tells me to give to the poor. you know, I mean, I try to do good things, so I'm not as red as I used to be. You know, I'm trying to get right with the Lord. I'm trying to do good stuff, because by doing good stuff, that means that I'm a good person, and by being a good person, then I'm good with the Lord, right? So, sure, I'm still a little filthy, but, you know, who is it, right? I hate it when my sisters are all like, but you're the holy one, and I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm such a bad individual. Y'all just don't, I just know how to play it off real well. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know how to play it off. They know when I'm lying. But we think that it's like, but I'm not as red anymore, and I'm trying to clean myself off, you know. I'm trying to do right. You know, I come to church on Easter and on Christmas and on Mother's Day, because that's when we want to come. That's when we think we're supposed to come, because it makes my mama happy, right? So I'm doing all these things and getting right with the Lord, and, you know, he's got my back. He knows that I'm trying, right? Esmeralda said, if you're trying, you're not really doing. Is that how you said it? But I'm going to still sit here and fight with her and be like, but I'm trying. right? So we sit here and we say, but I'm trying. I'm trying to do what's right. So, it's, you know, I came to 3 services out of the month versus, you know, all 5 or all 4 or whatever. I come every Wednesday night. I come every first Saturday of the month. I come to every little gathering the church has, you know. I'm going to help on April the 13th to hand out bags. Please do so. I help teach when the teacher doesn't come. You know, so we sit here and we do these things. I'm a come on Friday and help fill out bags. Please do so. Those are subtle digs for you to actually come on Friday and Saturday to help us out. Not that that makes you any more right with the Lord just because you're coming. But you sit here and you think that, you know, we sit here and we think that this is okay. You know, this is all right. And so we want to come before the Lord like this, right? And I'm not saying that God's not going to come before you and be like, that if you come to God and you're like this and you go, God, I'm a sinner and I know I messed up and I know I need some cleaning. I know that I'm filthy. There's such a big difference in between how we come to the Lord. If we're coming to the Lord and sincerely believe that we're sinners in need of a Savior, then He listens to us. If we're coming to the Lord and it's like, you know, I need to, you know, it's kind of like Monopoly, collect. My sister was like, I'm not going to pass go, collect my $200, right? We want to treat God like Monopoly. We're like, oh, I'm at this part. I need you to forgive me, you know, so we can be right, so I can go back into the world and do what I want to do, right? There's such a difference. Because God says in Isaiah 64:6, he says, we have all become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous deeds are like polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind take us away, right? Polluted garments, filthy rags. If we want to get a little bit more technical with the words, a menstrual pad is the technical words that they are using, right? For us ladies, we understand what that is. For some men, maybe. But for the ladies, you understand what that is, and that's gross. And we present ourselves that way, and we're just like, you know, here I am, God. Here I am, and I want you to forgive me because I'm a good person, and I've done all these good things, right? But I want you to forgive me and bless me so that I can go back and I can continue being the person that I was, right? I can continue to be this sinful person who feels as though, because I've done these good deeds, you've forgiven me, right? Last week when we read in class, right, what did it say? Some versions say harlot. Other versions, which is my favorite version, say whore, because it's more deep. It cuts harder than harlot. You're just like, oh. Huh? It's more to the point. I love looking up certain versions because I'm like, it's more to the point. There's a certain passage that says, son of rebellious and impure woman, but it's son of a rebellious and whoring woman, right? But we sit there and we're just like, I want God to bless me in all of my whoring ways, basically is what we're saying. I want you to bless me with all of my sin and say it's okay for me to keep sinning. It's basically what we're saying when we come to the Lord and we present this to him by saying, I did all these good deeds. Now say it's okay that I can go back and do all these things again, right? And that's the reality. We have a tendency to do that. We have the tendency to say, God, I've done all these good acts. Now say it's okay that I can do these things. Or let me feel that it's okay that I can do these things. And I'll be back in a month from now when I'm filthy again and be like, you know, but I did all these things to clean up. So it's okay, right? And then the day will come when we're before the Lord and it's like, but I mean, I did all these things in your name, Jesus. And it's like, okay, but who are you? I never knew you, right? So we sit here and we think that it's okay to act this way. We think that it's okay, that we think that God is fine with this. Pastor said, the unbeliever is not sick. He is dead, right? We have a tendency to beat around the bush or make people feel a little bit nicer so that they can keep coming to church on Sundays. Right? So we want them to feel good. We're going to massage their heart. We're not going to tell them they're a sinner. We're going to be like, you know, it's a sickness. It's okay. You'll be all right. You know, you're really not that bad of a person. But this pastor says we have all, the unbeliever is not sick. He is dead. She is dead. Right? And all of our righteous, he does not need resuscitation. He needs a resurrection. There's a complete difference. One, you're sort of alive and you're trying to stay alive. The other one is you're completely dead and need to come alive again, right? All lost sinners are dead. And the only difference between one sinner and another is the state of decay. I told that to my sister and she's like, dang, that's deep. And I was like, it sure is. I don't like this message anymore. it's the reality that we sit here and we want to make things look pretty. We want, you know, we sit here and just talk about the nice stuff, the good stuff, right? And it's not just the prosperity gospel, because we can go about talking about the Lord without talking about if you give $20, the Lord's going to bless you with $2,000. I'm like, I don't know how much I've given in my lifespan. I haven't seen any $2,000 come back. So I don't know how y'all system work or what kind of connection y'all have with God, because I need it, right? But I'm just kidding. But that's the reality. We sit here and we teach some stuff that makes people feel good, that makes people feel happy and be like, oh, it's a good day today and I can go back to being, you know, the person I am outside of these four walls. But that's not the case. The reality is that we are sinners in need of a Savior. Let's read verses 4 through 10. It says, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Saul tells me he's not boasting. What is it? He's boasting on what God created when he speaks about himself. And I'm just like, okay. Right? But these good works isn't so that we can say, look, Jesus, look at what I've done. Look how clean I've gotten myself so far. I'm getting there, right? I'm going to make it, I think, hopefully, right? You sure? Right? But the reality is that it is through God, it is by God, through his son, Jesus Christ, that we are saved. Verses 5 and verses 8, by grace you have been saved. Grace in itself is not something that you can measure up to. Grace in itself is not something that you can buy. It is something that is completely given by God without any merit on your behalf. It's not, oh, Giselle's doing better than Sandra. Sandra's doing better than Carlos. Doing this backwards, right? Carlos is doing better than Saul, right? So therefore, I'm going to give him a little bit more grace than this one, and I'm going to give her a little bit more grace than that one. No, it's an even grace unto everybody, right? Not because of what you've done or what you're doing, but because of who he is and the reality of what you need. So we sit there and we think that it is by us and not by God that we are saved. If this doesn't work, it's because I waited a little too long. I'm not a magician either, so I know. Because I'm a Christian. No, I'm just kidding. Well, no, I am a Christian, but not that I'm not a magician because I'm a Christian. And I'm not a magician because I just don't know how to do magic tricks. Huh? Maybe I don't know how to wash. That's why I have a washer and dryer, guys. Because I wouldn't be able to, huh? I didn't use enough soap. For all of us who have been to the motherland, right? Unless you have one in your backyard now here in the U.S., you know, sit back there. Like, hated it. Hated it with a passion. I tell my mom, don't be sending me to El Salvador and making me wash my own clothes now. I was spoiled. My mom paid someone so I wouldn't have to wash my clothes. I'm writing myself out. That's why I don't know how to wash, guys, because I wouldn't do it when I was in El Salvador. This takes a minute, sorry. I promise you my clothes is actually clean. We get the point. Just wash. Voila, you still have some stains, but it's all right, because it is a lot lighter. But there's a reality in our lives that when God has come to save us, he saved us of ourselves. But there's my point of view. God still uses your past to glorify himself. So even though people are like, but I mean, Carlos, come on. You used to be one of those dudes that were like stumbling out of the bar. Not that Carlos would do that. I'm just using Carlos as the example. Don't be like, ooh, Carlos is a drunk. I can't use myself because, you know, I'm perfect. I have never sinned. Right. No. But, you know, you... And so we sit there and we want to criticize people and be like, you ain't really saved. You acting like it because, man, I remember who you were. I know what you about. It's like, yeah, I was about that life, but I'm not that person anymore. Because someone, in this case, Don, Jesus, huh? I have, if you don't have Don, you don't have Jesus. No, I'm just kidding. This is not a commercial. You know, we sit there and we want to criticize people, right? We become judgmental of someone who's come to the Lord. A lot of us Christians who have been in church for a long time, we see a sinner and we're just like, ooh, you a thug. I don't know if Jesus can save you, right? And sometimes that thug has a way better relationship than a Christian who has been in church all of their life. And I'm not trying to say that if you've been in church all of your life, you don't got it together. It's between you and the Lord. I don't know your life that way, right? Spiritually speaking. But a lot of times we want to sit here and we want to say, but I'm clean. You're not. You know, you're a sinner. I'm not. But the reality is that we are all sinners who fell short from the glory of God, who were all in need of grace. And God, in his rich and loving mercy, extended it both to the non-sinner and the sinner. I mean, I never went clubbing. I never smoked. I never did this. I never did that. But on the other hand, Jesus, Johnny did all of this stuff. And I don't know, Jesus, right? We want to sit there and do that. But God's not about that. God's not about, like, let's see, who's done a better job at living perfect. No, he understands that we're imperfect individuals. And nothing about us is perfect. He doesn't come to you because you're perfect. He comes to you because you're imperfect, in need of a Savior who is perfect. So Paul tells the Ephesians that it's through God's love that they are saved in Christ. Paul tells the Ephesians that it is God who has made them alive, who has raised them up, and who has seated them with him in the heavenly places through Christ Jesus. Paul tells the Ephesians that God does all of this, not so that he can be like, oh, Giselle, now you can boast about how clean you are. Giselle, like, don't use me. right? Or how clean Saul is, or how clean Sandra F is, or how clean an hermano Campo is, right? He does it so he can glorify himself, so that he can show non-believers, look at what I've done, not what they did. Because what they did got them nowhere, right? When we live our lives according to the law because we're trying to meet God's standards, it's a more of a look at what I've done, right? But when we allow Jesus to be Jesus and to work in our lives, we say, look at what he's done, right? Because if I live based on the law, then I'm going to say, look at all the good works that I do. But I live in his grace, then I have nothing to boast about but to say, look at what Jesus has done. Look at what Jesus is doing. Because, let's be honest, I'm not perfect. Like Carlos says, I live in a very aggressive state. The Lord's working, guys. The Lord's working. I'm just stubborn. Huh? But he says all of this, right? Not a result of work, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So you sit here and you say, okay, well, if none of my good deeds will mount to anything, then what's the point? I'm not trying to tell you don't do good. Do good. Be people who do good, but be people who do good through Christ Jesus. Right? Allow Jesus to be the one who is exalted. Allow Jesus to be the one who is working through you and in you so that others may know of his love and his mercy and his grace, so that others may come to believe in his name. But if we live our lives coming to church, acting like saints who are sinners, who aren't saved, then you're not helping no one, nor are you helping yourself. But if you say, I'm a sinner who has been saved, and look at what Jesus has done and what he is doing, then we live a different life. When we place our faith in Christ, it is through God's grace that we are saved. It is not our works. It is not through anyone else. It's not, well, you know, I use my cousin because she's in the room and because, you know, we've had a very extensive and long relationship as cousins, as friends, as sisters in Christ, as my non-academic advisor and student. For some of you, you know that joke. And I'm like, yeah, Jesus, I mean, I'm filthy, but look at Esmeralda. Esmeralda, you know, was praying for me. Esmeralda was teaching me about you. So can I ride off of her coattails and enter into the gates of heaven? And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. Esmeralda realized who I was. Esmeralda accepted me for who I was, right? And the fact that she realized that she's a sinner in need of a savior. You, on the other hand, thought that just by doing some good stuff and listening to another individual and never really believing in me, you would be saved, right? Listen to Esmeralda. She's a good person. That's another plug. But we sit there and we want to act as if, though, oh, I can be saved because my mama goes to church, or I can be saved because my daddy goes to church, or my grandmother knew how to pray. That woman could pray. And she would pray and pray and pray and out loud while I was trying to fall asleep at midnight. And I'm like, look, your house doesn't have walls that go all the way up to the ceiling. I can hear you. You can hear me. I just want to sleep. Right? I was, again, I wouldn't join her because I was being lazy and a sinner and didn't want to pray. Because I'm like, look, you like to pray for like 3 hours. I want to sleep for those 3 hours. But she was a great lady. But we sit here and we think that it's through our works. But it is actually by grace, through faith, in Christ, according to the scripture, for the glory of God. Right? Last Sunday in our class, we went over the 5 solas, right? So it is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone, according to the scripture alone, all to the glory of God alone, right? It's by grace and my works. It's not by faith and my works as well, I guess you would say, or my faith. And it is not just Jesus and all that I continue to do after Jesus. It is not the scripture and my thoughts. It is not to the glory of God and to my glory. It is by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone, according to scripture alone, and to the glory of God alone. So all that we do it because of the reality of who he is, not because I'm trying to benefit anything out of it, right? This last month, I don't really remember when the song came out, but Hillsong came out with a new song, and it's called As You Find Me. And there's a portion in the song that, if you play it, I'm about 90 to 10% chance going to cry. So we're not going to play it. I'm just going to read it, a portion of the song. And it says, I was found before I was lost. I was yours before I was not. Grace to spare for all of my mistakes, and that part just wrecks me. And I know I don't deserve this kind of love. Somehow this kind of love is who you are. It's a grace I could never add up to be somebody you still want. But somehow you love me as you find me. I was found before I was lost. I was yours before I was not. You wear the scars for all of my mistakes. And that part just wrecks me. When we realize what his grace has done in our lives, it should humble you to a point to say, there is nothing on this earth that I could ever do that deserves what you have done. But I'm grateful and I'm thankful, and I will live a life according to your will. We are all sinners who fall short. And though our sins condemn us, God's mercy and grace saves us. That while we were all still sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. His grace is open to all who will receive it. Let us pray. God, I give you thanks for this morning. I give you thanks that we are all here. It is not by mere coincidence. It is not by mere chance, God. but because you've called us here this morning. God, I pray that we would be people who would realize that we are sinners, that we are filthy individuals in need of grace, God, that our righteous deeds amount to nothing apart from you, God, that you count our righteous deed as filthy rags, Father God, that we would realize that it is not anything that we do that saves us, but it is your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, Father God, so that we may have eternity with you, so that we may be live apart from condemnation, Father God, that we would understand, God, that we are in need of you at all times in our lives, God. I pray, God, for anyone that's in the room who is struggling, Father God, with their faith, who is struggling with their faith, who is struggling in believing, Father God, that they wouldn't leave here discouraged, Father God, but that they would leave here encouraged and knowing that you are for them, you are with them, God, and all they have to do is believe. I pray that they wouldn't leave here with questions, God, but that they would come speak to one of us, Father God, know who you are personally, God. I pray, God, that as we live our lives out on this earth until you come, Father, that we would do everything within us to please you, to do your will, and to go to the nations, Father God, proclaiming the gospel. I probably sing this in your Son's name. Amen.